Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Bill. That's Wendy Snyder, a girl so sweet that Cook County wants to throw a tax on her just for listening to her. That starts next week.
Wow. Yep. What did I do to deserve
that?
How are you going to break bad 5 minutes later?
But I'd do that.
Yes.
I would never do that.
You and or Bertrand.
I would never do that. How was your weekend? Everything good?
Yeah, boy, I'm liking this weather.
This is doable.
It was very cool yesterday.
Doable,
I was fine with it.
Yep. And it runs the gamut.
Doesn't it?
A little bit hot, a little bit cold, a little bit something for everybody.
I'm kind of okay with that.
Something for everybody. All right, much to discuss with you. First, I want to run a tape. I'm curious what you think about this. I don't know if you got a chance to hear this. Do you know who Patti LuPone is?
Yes, I do.
Broadway actress.
Yes.
Singer. She's been in a bunch of Broadway hits over the years. Right now, she's in a play called War Paint that's getting incredible reviews on Broadway.
That's been running a while, hasn't it?
Because
I'm even familiar with that.
I think it's been running on and off, but I think the current cast is fairly new. It's her and Christine Ebersole, who used to be on Saturday Night Live for a little while. So they asked Patti LuPone what her thoughts would be if Donald Trump were to attend a performance of War Paint. So listen to her answer. She took a while. Like, she didn't answer right away.
She was pondering it.
She was thinking about it. And then she said this.
Still not ready.
She still paused. She like...
It's for effect. She's on stage.
Right.
Everyone,
you know how these Broadway
the
actresses right. are, Steve? Is like, you have the option when somebody gives you a line, you could say it right away, or you can make the audience wait a little while.
You so can hear a pin
means
drop.
More.
It does. All right. So they waited about 4 minutes, and then they said... Miss LuPone, we insist you answer our question. What would you do if the president, Donald Trump, were to attend a performance? How would that go?
Why should President Trump come see your show?
Well, I hope he doesn't, because I won't perform if he does.
Really?
Really.
Tell me why.
Because I hate the mother. How's that?
So, all right.
Woo, you think I have a bad mouth?
Not anymore.
Patti LuPone is now the person who swears the
new
most.
Winner. All right. So here's my question. I'm also not the largest fan of Donald Trump's, and I don't know that you are either.
Nope.
But if your job is to do something, and hers is, her job is to perform in this play War Paint on Broadway, you can't not do your job just because one guy shows up, can you?
I don't know. I think that's the new thing these days. You can pick and choose what you want to do just because you're unhappy, and I don't agree with that.
People are behaving in the way that they hate
right.
behave.
Right.
I can't take it anymore.
Right. All right. So if we're critical of this baker, now this is a case. There's a case now in front of the Supreme Court about a baker who has refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple because he doesn't agree with that lifestyle. So he says, I'm not making a cake for you guys. I don't like what you're doing. I'm not doing it. So if you're critical of a guy who would do that, don't you also, no matter how much, I don't like Donald Trump, but I think if this is my job to do this show with you, if he came in and sat in and they said, hey, Donald Trump wants to sit in and watch you guys and you got to do the show, you couldn't say no to that, could you?
I wouldn't say no to that, and I would try to ask him some questions.
Yeah.
I'd get yelled at, I'm sure.
Maybe. There's a chance.
Disastrous would be mentioned a few times.
Right? That could happen.
But you know what? Part of getting along with people is having a conversation and not slamming the door shut.
Right. Right. I just don't know, like, where that rule is bendable. Like, I can't think of a time where if you're getting paid to do a job. What was the story about the lady who had to issue marriage licenses a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah. What was her name with the good hair?
Yeah, she had amazing hair. So a couple comes in, same-sex couple, and she goes, "Now I'm not going to give you a marriage license."
But then Davis.
Kim Davis.
That's it. Ding, ding, ding.
Ryan remembers because he spent some quality time in Kentucky.
Oh, he did. That's right. Thank you, Ryan. It was Kim Davis. So Kim Davis's job was to issue marriage licenses to people who came in and wanted to get married. And she goes, I don't really agree with the lifestyle, so I'm not going to give you a marriage license. But that is right there a direct violation of what you've been hired to do. So as much as I enjoy Patti LuPone and I appreciate the work she's done on Broadway, I think if she's in the middle of a performance and they go, or she's about to perform and they go, oh, by the way, the president's here, she can't say no.
Well, she can say no, and then she's off the play.
Right.
She's done.
Right.
Now, if the president was going to use it as a fundraiser,
Then you have a different story, right?
That
it's
is
like
different.
I'm not going to participate in this because I don't share those beliefs.
Right.
But if you're so think,
if he's
think
just in the audience, it's not like she's agreeing with him.
Think of the arrogance of this too. He's won. There are what 2,500 people in the audience.
Yeah.
So she's going to punish 2,499 people
right.
who paid to see her.
Right.
And she's going to let them go home without seeing her,
right.
just though, despite him.
Now let me add this into there, Steve, because everything you said is true. But remember when Mike Pence went to see Hamilton last year, and the play went off just as it was supposed to. Everybody was happy. And then at the end, the cast of Hamilton came out for their bows, and then they spent a couple of minutes talking to Mike Pence and saying, hey, if you enjoyed the show, what this show is inclusion. We were showing we had a diverse cast, everybody working together, and that's a message that we all stand behind. If you're Patti LuPone, do you maybe do the show and say, let me take a minute, or do you not even bother doing that? What have we learned here this evening?
I think if you were asked a question about it, then you should respond. I don't know that I agree with the Hamilton stuff either.
No.
I mean, you're there watching a show. He's there on his private time. Just come on.
Just do the show as scheduled. See, I thought the guy, and I don't think it was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No, it was the guy who played Aaron Burr.
He's the one who went out of his way to say.
Miranda was gone, I think, by then, too.
Yeah, he must have been gone already. Right, right. But I thought the way he handled it that night was really good in saying
it was.
This is a representation of all different people of all different walks of life and all different colors, and that's the message we hope you'll leave this theater with. I thought it was done very tastefully.
They could have done that same thing without singling him out too.
They could have. Yeah, they certainly could have.
That might have been a better way, Wendy.
It's just I don't. Mike Pence was not there in a political.
Well, but he.
I guess
he was the new incoming vice president. I mean, he was too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, you think of the rest of the audience, and I don't know. And if you remember, Pence was leaving. He was like in the lobby.
Yeah.
Right. But to his credit, like he didn't give. You know, politicians always have that thing where they kind of give a look of, I'm an important person that needs to be somewhere else. So I enjoyed the show, but got to run. He didn't do that. Like he stood and nodded and watched. I don't know that it changed his mind on anything.
Well, see, that's just it. I don't think it did. And so Steve's right. If I was there that night watching it, I'd be like, oh, come on. I'm trying to put politics out of my mind now while I escape and watch a show.
Maybe.
About a founding father.
Right. Right.
Yeah, all right, good point.
Right. There is that.
I just don't like this. It wasn't really an attack, but it was a singling out, and I just, come on.
With Mike Pence or with Patti LuPone?
Well, Patti LuPone, that's inexcusable. It is.
You picked up the part where she didn't really like Donald Trump, right? I mean, I had to listen to it three or four times before I found that. It's real subtle. You have to almost pull out a magnifying glass to find it. But I respect her not liking him and showing some opposition to him, but I do think that if your job is to do like what she does, a Broadway show, you like Steve said, you can't penalize the people that came to see it. You can't even penalize him. You got to say, well, it's my job to do this. The show must go on.
Just, you know, at the very beginning, before your first line go, this one's not for you, Donald Trump.
How about this? Hillary Clinton shows up and Patti LuPone performs in the dark because the guy who runs the spotlight doesn't like her.
Right. How would that be? You couldn't do that. There's no way you could do that.
Can't we just all get along?
No, stop asking.
That would be nice. In theory, yes. In theory, that's exactly what should happen, is we should all get along. But somewhere along the line, it got garbled up. That message got all garbled up. I don't know why.
It's like, you know, I was not a big proponent of W.
Yeah.
But I didn't walk around.
The president or the letter?
No, I like the letter because it
Letter's
starts my
great.
Name.
Yeah.
Without that, I'd be Endy.
Nobody wants that.
But I didn't walk around showing my misery. I'm not happy with Donald Trump and how he is treating this office.
Right.
But I just want to go on and hope it works itself out. I just don't want to get in arguments with people. Because it would be happening every day.
I know. Years ago, back when I did stand-up, I was doing a show at the Improv in Los Angeles, and there were three of us on this. It was part of this contest. We were performing at a contest at the Improv. And earlier in the day, we received word that the talent coordinator for Arsenio Hall's show was coming to see us. And one of the guys, this guy Matt, said, Arsenio Hall's the worst.
He goes, I might second that emotion.
He was not good. Arsenio Hall was not good.
No.
So he said, if I got asked to do the Arsenio Hall show, I would say no so quickly that before they even asked me, as they started the question, I would reject them and say no. And the other guy goes, you know what? Me too. And they looked at me and I go, you know what? Me too. If he asks us, let's make a pact. If the talent coordinator for Arsenio Hall asks any of us, we just flat out say no. And that's it. We're not doing it like that.
So they were both on the show.
No. It turned out he showed up and didn't like any of the three of us, so it wasn't really an issue, which made the other guys hate him even more. They go, well, now we really don't like him. Now we're really not going to do the show. But then, like, the more I thought about it later is I thought, I probably shouldn't have agreed to that because it would have been network exposure, which would have been a good thing for me. But, I mean, I had principles then, and I like to think I still do now. There's a show on in Chicago, a television show that I can't stand. And if they called and said, we want you to be a guest on the show, I would still to this day say absolutely not. Now, again, they have not asked me, so it's very easy to say no to that.
Can you say what show it is?
No, Windy City Live.
They're not ever going to ask me.
They're never going to ask me to be on the show. But you have to have some kind of scruples and principles. But at some point, then you also have to go, uh-oh, have I made a mistake in saying no? And I think Patty LuPone... If Donald Trump shows up, let's say he knows this story and he goes, well, let's see how good she is.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see that show.
If I was him, I would do that.
I know.
I totally would. And I'd ask for free tickets.
Right. I'm the president.
Right.
Give me a couple in the back. All right. We'll take a quick break. And then your thoughts. We're at 312-981-7200. Give us a call or a text. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. We were talking about Patty LuPone.
Yes. Broadway favorite.
She's been doing Broadway for a long time. Movies. She's really talented. She refused to perform if Donald Trump came into the audience.
She's in war paint.
Can we hear that audio again?
Yeah. Remember, it's not for the squeamish. She gets very angry.
Why should President Trump come see your show?
Well, I hope he doesn't, because I won't perform if he does.
Really?
Really.
Tell me why.
Because I hate the mother. How's that?
Why should...
Do you remember when they announced that Andrew Dice Clay was going to host Saturday Night Live?
Mm-hmm.
And Nora Dunn did the same thing. Nora Dunn said, yeah, well, guess what? You will not be having me perform on Saturday Night Live if Andrew Dice Clay shows up. So she took the week off. And
how'd that work out for her?
Well, fine. You know, they were kind of understanding about it, you know? I wonder if more of the cast, now I know we're going back several years on this, Andrew Dice Clay isn't much of a factor anymore, and everybody who was in the cast is
what are you talking about?
Hickory dickory dock. what if most of the cast, what if two-thirds of the cast said, we so disagree with this? You know, when Donald Trump was announced as the host of SNL last season, a bunch of the cast said, I'm not thrilled with this. But nobody took the week off. Everybody showed up.
I think that's your job.
Well, the Clay thing's a little different because it would be a fellow performer.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so she's taking issue with her employer.
Right.
The Donald Trump thing would be just a guy, not that he would buy a ticket, but, you know, buying a ticket to go watch the show.
It's different.
One thing, you know, if they were to say, we're gonna do a cameo and have Trump come on and play,
right,
you know, the billionaire in this scene.
Right.
You know, then maybe you could take issue with it a little more legitimately than just someone who's paying to see you.
How would you compare it to, again, we go back in time, we pull out the Wayback Machine for this one, but they announced that Jerry Springer is going to be part of the news over at Channel 5. And Carol Marine says, oh, I don't think so. And who else left at that point?
Well, Ron Majors
walked on that. Right? So that was the beginning of the end for those guys at Channel 5 over, right?
Yeah, well, as them together, yeah. They went on to do pretty good things.
Oh, both of them did. Without a doubt.
But yeah, that partnership.
But didn't you at the time, I've told both of them this separately. Boy, was I a fan of that, of you saying you're not gonna turn the news into a freak show.
But again, Channel 5 was offering Springer credibility by appearing on the set and being part of the product.
Yeah.
Imagine if Carol Marine had said, I'm not going to do the news if Jerry Springer is watching tonight.
Yeah, that's different, isn't it?
That is.
That's hugely different.
Yeah, if they put Donald Trump in the production of War Paint,
right.
I could see where she'd go,
right.
I don't think so.
Right.
Why? Because he's a mother.
Yeah. Shut your mouth. I'm talking about Trump. Right.
All right. Well, a couple of comments here, and then we have to take a break. Charlie, we don't have a lot of time, but go ahead.
Okay, real quick. Colbert, every night, blast the shot of Trump. And people sitting in his audience, you know that not all of them are anti-Trump. But, you know, I mean, I agree with you guys 1,000%. I wish I could tell my boss, oh, I don't want to deliver to that guy because, you know, they're coming because I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. You know, he's getting paid for this.
There are two listeners that text us all the time that I don't want to broadcast for, but I got to.
Okay. Yeah.
Plus, I haven't identified him yet, but I will find you.
No, but I just mean, you know, Colbert's always blasting Trump, but hey, he gets away with it, and now it's become, right, he's got the highest ratings, I think, because of that.
Yeah, so. Stephen Colbert's ratings have gone much, much higher since Donald Trump is in office because he's spending a lot of his time at the beginning of the show ripping into him. It's crazy, but it's true.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's like I said, not everybody on the show is anti-Trump. So.
Right. Agreed. Thank you, Charlie. Have a good day.
Time to go up, guys. Time to go up.
Take care.
He had a bad phone. He needs a new phone.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought he talked that way.
All right. Let's take a quick break. All kinds of things on today's show. Ice cream. We'll talk about ice cream, the importance of ice cream. Which we cannot stress enough.
You can't.
And Eric Zorn, who's like ice cream. He's like the human form of ice cream.
Lick him when he gets in here.
You've made a promise.
God damn it. If I say it on the air, do I have to do it?
You have made a promise. All right, stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I got put my banana Dixie cups. All flavors and push-ups.
You can tell he loves ice cream because he uses the word and usually you only use that word if you've been attacked by a sparrow or you love ice cream. And I love ice cream, Wendy. I love ice cream. And now there's a book celebrating the love of ice cream. It's called Sweet Spot, An Ice Cream Binge Across America. This is a book that we needed, and we needed it now. Amy Ettinger is on the line with us to talk about the book. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Amy, let's be honest. You and I, let's be honest. There ain't no better food on the planet than ice cream. Is that true?
I agree totally. Mm. I think I could give up everything else, but I cannot give up ice cream.
I do not understand that.
Wendy, bite your tongue.
Listen, Amy, I love a good ice cream sundae every once in a while, but... I don't ever want to go get ice cream. What's wrong with me?
You know, something's wrong.
My husband sort of has had that attitude as well, but I have cured him of that, let me tell you. He came along on this binge with me, and now he has developed quite an addiction as well. And it is an addiction. So they have studied the brains of ice cream eaters like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out the more you eat, the more you want. It is an addiction. So
mm-hmm.
You just need to eat a little bit more, and you will be one of us.
Is there something wrong with me that I like vanilla?
No!
No, vanilla is the most popular flavor on the planet.
Uh-huh.
It sells in every ice cream store. It sells 2-1 over every other flavor.
Isn't that crazy? Because it's almost like, it's not the total lack of flavor, but I always say to myself, experiment a little. There's so many options when it comes to ice cream. Why would you only get vanilla or just chocolate?
And especially now, there have never been more choices
for
ice cream eating. And if you like savory, let me tell you, there are savory ice creams out there now. So
give an example or two so people know what's out there.
So I tried oyster ice cream, which is actually not a new invention. Dolly Madison, James Madison's wife, loved oyster ice cream. She made sort of an oyster chowder with ham and onions, and she would freeze it up and serve it as an ice cream, and it was her favorite. So I read that, and I thought, I've got to try this ice cream. So I found a chef down in Los Angeles who made some for me, and it was a very unusual flavor of ice cream.
All right, you say unusual. That doesn't necessarily mean good.
You know, I ate it, and I had this experience, and I only have this experience very rarely with foods I haven't had a lot of, where I couldn't immediately tell if I loved it or hated it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just so weird. I don't know what to think. And, you know, I would say that if it was on the menu again, no, you know what? I would try it again.
Really?
I would definitely try it. I really would. It was... There's something that happens when you're an adult and you haven't had a flavor before.
Yeah.
Where you're sort of, it's sort of like being a kid again. You know, like kids have such a unique experience of getting to try foods for the first time.
Right.
And ice cream is one of those foods that as a kid you have, and kids don't even know what to make of it. Sometimes you go to an ice cream parlor, and let me tell you, I spent a lot of time in ice cream parlors.
Mm-hmm.
Kids will sometimes just break down into hysterics when they try ice cream because they've never had it before. I kind of had that feeling sampling some of these flavors.
Your taste buds just explode. You don't know what to do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of fun as an adult because it doesn't happen very often.
All right, I'm going to say something else that's going to make me sound un-American.
Uh-oh.
It's too cold.
No, it has to be cold. It's ice cream.
No, it's too cold.
Have you complained when you go in? What's with this cold?
Listen,
I don't want the cold
stuff. We would have, my aunt would have ice cream every once in a while after our big Sunday dinner, and she got like the craziest flavors, like heavenly hash,
yeah,
and just this weird stuff. And it was too cold, so I would stir it around in my bowl till it kind of became a soft serve, and then I could eat it.
So, you know, when immigrants were first coming to this country,
Wendy's aunt,
they would go to Ellis Island, and ice cream was such a national dessert, it always has been, that to kind of help people feel more part of this country, they would serve them ice cream.
Yeah.
And some of them had never had it before, had thought that it was too cold and just so strange, and had asked for it to be warmed up. So this sense of this is too cold and this is kind of weird, it's not that unusual.
Can I just tell you, Amy Ettinger, that I love you? Because every time I say these things to Bill, he rolls his eyes.
Yes.
But you have, it's proof is in the pudding flavored ice cream.
If it's not too cold.
Exactly. And you know what? The warmer ice cream is, the more you'll actually be able to taste it.
The more of the flavor comes out.
You don't want it
exactly
frozen. You want it slightly not room temperature.
Well, you can stick your spoon into
right.
it. And
right.
it goes in. You don't have to chisel it.
Like when you leave it in your freezer, you don't want to eat it right out of your freezer. You want to let it out for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, right?
Microwave for 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
No, that's where I have to stop you.
No?
My husband is a microwaver of the ice cream, and it drives me insane because there's something called freezer abuse
yeah.
in the ice cream world
yeah.
where it's just... you're warming something up and then you're bringing it down to, you know, freezing again. And that's when you get those horrible ice crystals.
Yeah.
I cannot stand ice crystals in my ice cream. So if you need to warm it up, you know, set it out on the counter. That's what I do. But the microwaving of the ice cream is the worst thing you can do.
You'll go to jail for that, Wendy.
I do have a solution for those ice crystals, though. And I'm sure, Amy, you know, since you've written this book, Sweet Spot, An Ice Cream Binge Across America, I'm sure you're aware of this. I don't eat ice cream, but my two sons and husband all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their own Ben and Jerry's with their name on it. But you put wax paper and you push it all the way down so it's touching the mm-hmm. ice cream so there's no dead space.
Yes, that definitely helps. You got to put something on the top. And, but there, yeah, it can be complicated. So I do try to eat my ice cream quick. You know, I try to eat up the pints as quick as I can.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
That's the solution.
What's wrong with that? Amy Ettinger is our guest. She has written a book called Sweet Spot, An Ice Cream Binge Across America. It's a companion piece to Wendy's book, Ice Cream, It's Too Cold. You can get them both. We'll take a quick break and then we'll talk more about it. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Ice cream, we all scream for ice cream.
That's true, Wendy. We all scream for it because we love it so much. Sweet Spot is the name of the book. An Ice Cream Binge Across America, Amy Ettinger's new book. Pick it up. It's great. Amy, Wisconsin has changed the game when it comes to ice cream with their frozen custard. Let's discuss that a little bit, because I'm a big, big fan of the Wisconsin frozen custard.
I try to sometimes explain to people about the delicious quality of frozen custard. And unfortunately, there's bad frozen custard out in California and other places in the country. If you have amazing frozen custard, I just think it is one of the best things ever.
Yep.
And one of the things that makes it so incredible is there is more egg in it. It's just a richer, denser kind of cousin of ice cream. But they also, in Wisconsin, there are people there who are making it, and they've made it in their family for several generations. So they know what they're doing, and they have the special equipment that presses out all the air from the frozen custard. So you get this dense, delicious, wonderful treat that must be enjoyed on the spot. You cannot just get a pint of frozen custard and bring it home.
Right.
It'll last maybe 20 minutes, but really it's enjoyed best on the spot. And so there's this, you have an experience when you're eating it. And I love that about it.
Vanilla ice cream is the vehicle for which I can put on hot fudge caramel and roasted pecans. That's good. But just, somebody says I have a bowl almost every night. And another listener has texted us and said, a surprise flavor that they tried, lavender chocolate chip.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yes.
There was an ice cream place last summer. My wife and I were in Kennebunkport, Maine. And wherever we go on vacation, we always look up to find out what the good ice cream place is. So we visited this place. I don't remember the name of it, but there was a line outside the ice cream shop and down the block. But I looked at the flavors. They only had 10 flavors at this ice cream shop that they rotated in and out. And they were all kind of interesting / strange, like the lavender you just described. Nothing seemed worthy to me, because there was a Ben & Jerry's right across the street. They're local. I know they've got good stuff. But sometimes you do have to take a chance, right? You got to try something just to see if it'll work.
She ate oyster ice cream.
Oyster ice cream, yeah.
It's a risk, though, because you only get, for when I was growing up, I would only get the one dessert a day. It was like one treat at the end of the day, and you had to make it good. And so I do find when it's not good, this horrible sense of disappointment. Like in the moment, it's like the worst thing that has ever happened. I have chosen this treat and it's not good. So I do understand that risk factor. But then on the flip side, when it works out and you have something that you weren't expecting to be good and it's good, It's great. So, there's a lot of risk in my book. I had adventures and it didn't always turn out well, but that it just makes for a more interesting life and a more interesting experience, I think.
Another thing that you're going to find strange is I like ice cream better in the winter, because if you have it in the summer, it's so rich that it makes you thirsty. So you need to get a side of water with it. It doesn't quench your thirst.
People in cold weather places actually eat more ice cream.
They do.
Than you would ever. Yes. On the East Coast and in the Midwest, there is an incredible amount of ice cream consumption. And you would never think it, but there is something that goes hand in hand with the cold.
Explain this to me, Amy. As much as I like high-end ice cream, and I do, I appreciate Kops and Giel's and Leon's. I know those are technically frozen custard. But I also like Dairy Queen a lot, and that's not even really ice cream. It even says at Dairy Queen, frozen dairy treat. It's not ice cream.
Yeah. I think sometimes I have this experience of it just brings you back to your childhood. I know that kind of soft serve, the Dairy Queen or the Dairy Bell, it just reminds me of being a kid and scrounging up money on my couch and begging my neighbor to walk me over to the place and getting the cone. And it doesn't matter the quality of the ice cream. It doesn't matter if it's artisanal or not.
Yeah.
I'm remembering how fun that was. And so that's another thing that I find very interesting with ice cream eating is, I can learn all the great things that need to go into a good scoop, and I can taste all these really fancy ice creams and pay a lot of money to try them. But at the end of the day, sometimes I'm just eating a wonderful soft serve. I actually had that this weekend, one of those chocolate dipped soft serves. That was just such a treat for
me. So good.
And it is the most enjoyable thing for me.
Yeah.
I do like soft serve. Yeah. I'll give in to that a little bit. But I feel like, you know, I just get vanilla. Sometimes I'll be risky and get the zebra cone. But it's the consistency of the frozen custard or the soft serve that I like better. I think it's consistency of ice cream.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Amy, what do you make of this? A lot of places will do what they call a concrete, where they'll put ice cream in a giant container, and then they'll turn it upside down to show you how thick it is. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea if it works. Sometimes, you know, it's not as thick as you're going to think it is, and sometimes it shows off some of the flaws, those horrible ice crystals. I mean, I remember getting a concrete and just dipping my spoon in there, and there were crystals in there. So
that's not going to work.
I mean, I think, you know, you gotta do it right. And then any way you want to show it off,
yeah,
I think is fine. Because that's another quality of ice cream in America that we've always had, is this kind of showmanship. You know, just really showing off. And then that's the marketing component. That's that American innovation and entrepreneurship of I'm going to show how great this is by marketing it in a fun and interesting way. And I get into that in the book as well.
As a result of this, anytime I get food in a restaurant now, I always want them to bring it to me upside down. I enjoy it more that way. What is it with grandmas? Why do grandmas always think that Neapolitan is the way to go? Can't we tell grandmas to try other things that Neapolitan isn't the best?
Heavenly hash is available.
That's also available, right?
I had this funny, you know, my grandma was this very interesting lady who became this very strict vegetarian in her 70s. And this was before anybody was doing it. Like, she was doing juice fasts and walking 5 miles a day. But then she'd come out and visit us, and she would, and she had given up all sugar. She had given up chocolate, but we'd go by the ice cream shop and she could not resist. And she would have to go in and get a scoop of vanilla. So I've always found that fascinating, that there is this certain, you know, certain generation where they just remember so strongly their memories of having it. And no, they're not going to try their unusual flavors. They're going to stick to what they love.
Sugar cone or regular cone?
Oh, sugar.
Yeah.
Waffle if possible. But
because
they're bigger.
Even better.
Yeah.
Well, how about the places? There's a couple places that make their own waffle cones, and then they kind of sell you on just the aroma of the waffle cone. Cold Stone does that. They're always making fresh waffle cones when you walk in, and you can't say no to that.
No, there's, you know, it's that smell. You really cannot resist it. And one of the interesting little facts that I found when I was researching this book that absolutely blew me away was that the ice cream cone was not invented till the early 20th century. We were flying planes over Kitty Hawk before somebody had figured out how to make the ice cream.
Really?
The ice cream cone was, the ice cream cone was invented in 1904 at the St. Louis Fair. So when that happened, when the cone hit the scene, everything changed because, you know, they didn't have plastic cups. You'd have to go in and get your ice cream in one of those, you know, glass dishes, and then never enough time to wash the dishes. So there were some hygiene issues, let's just say, with the
I imagine.
You get the ice cream cone on the scene, and then distribution and the ability to get a scoop and walk down the street with it. That changed everything.
All right, you're talking about memories when we were talking about soft serve and stuff, and you don't care as long as it tastes good and brings back a lovely memory. I'm actually having a memory of getting chocolate almond that used to be available that is not always easy to find, and when you find it, the almonds are like little tiny pieces now.
Right.
It used to be whole almonds.
I remember that, sure.
And then I would get coconut on top of it. Is there a preference? Like, I think you put your favorite one on the bottom because it lasts longer and melts into the cone. Is there any specific order in which to scoop your ice cream?
Oh, I had not considered that before.
Look at this. You and I would get along well.
No, I had not thought about it. I like to have my favorite flavor on top because I want to have it. I want to have it like first off, and then I'm satisfied enough that the second favorite,
it's all a bonus after that. Right?
Yeah, but aren't you supposed to savor your, like, save the best for last, as someone once sang?
You could do that, sure, yeah. There's no wrong. There's no wrong answer, right, Amy? I mean, it's ice cream. You can't lose. The book is called Sweet Spot, An Ice Cream Binge Across America, Amy Ettinger's new book. Pick it up. It's fantastic. You'll love it. Amy, thanks for spending time with us. Have a great week.
Thank you.
When we go on vacation, I mentioned this a little bit when Amy was on with us. We always scout out like what ice cream places are nearby. So where we're going next week for a little bit, there's a place called Kilwin's that's actually a Michigan-based
place.
There
used to be one in downtown LaGrange. I've had it.
Kilwin's.
It did close, though.
I think there's still one.
There is someone somewhere.
On Navy Pier, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So they have a flavor called Key Lime.
Fudge, too. Kilwin's ice cream.
Yeah, they make fudge. Right. They do. So they have a flavor that's key lime pie. And other people have made key lime pie ice cream. It's not a Kilwin's original. But their version of it is so good. It makes me want to cry. Every time I have it, it's just so delicious. Because I love key lime pie on its own, but in ice cream form, the way they do it, because there's little pieces of crust in there, and there's big chunks of lime in there, it's just amazing how good it is.
There's a Kilwin's in Elmhurst, in Wheaton.
Is there one in Wheaton?
And
it closes early. Everything in Wheaton closes early. Go there before noon, because they'll be closed.
And they only open at 11, so you better get in, get
Hurry
out.
Up.
And one in Chicago. I don't have the address.
Oh, we got to. I think it's in Navy Pier. I'm almost positive. It's almost better I don't know. Don't tell me where
right,
it is,
because
I'll leave now. I'll just go and get ice cream right now. But it's so good. It's amazing.
In Geneva, in Lake Geneva, there's a lot of
Kilwin's
still.
Oh, there's a bunch?
Still, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. I love knowing that. All right, a quick break, some news, more show. Eric Zorn will join us in about a half an hour, so stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We just had a grandparent moment.
Boy, we did, didn't we?
I'm a little embarrassed.
Yes, we did.
We will be talking about something from Norway, and we couldn't figure out what band comes from Norway.
Uh-huh.
Kevin's suggestions were some metal band.
Yeah.
And
as you know, the band Dark Throne is from Norway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very
that.
Popular band, Dark Throne.
So then Kevin says, you know, Aha is from Norway, and we both kind of said, Yay!
Yay, we got
you
excited.
You kind of shouted. You were excited.
Yes. We were thrilled.
We're getting old.
We like Aha. There's a lot of great bands from Norway. Dimmu Borgir is from Norway.
Dimmu Borgir, Bill.
Yep, they're also Mjolnir. From Norway.
Mjolnir.
Burzum is from Norway.
Burzum, don't even know them.
Royskop, Gorgoroth, Theater Royksop. Of Tragedy. What is it, Kev?
Royksop.
Yep, they are from there. Insan is from Norway. Mortis, all these bands from
That's
Norway.
A death metal band.
Yep.
The death metal's pretty popular over
Zeromancer.
There.
Zeromancer? Yep. It's like Necromancer, but nobody shows up.
There's a great band from Norway called Jaga Jazzist. They're
yeah, Jaga Jazzist.
Millennium Park tonight, and I'm going.
Yeah. Their battle of the bands, if you go to Norway, Wendy, is second to none. They just have one great band after another.
Do they all wear the helmets with the horns on them?
Not all, but almost all.
Because that's a good look,
yeah.
Especially with long hair.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, Norway is up in arms, Wendy. Do you know why?
Because they don't have good band names?
No, that's part of the reason. But the other reason that Norway is up in arms is that vandals have destroyed the Trollpikken. Did you know about this? Did you get an alert on your phone?
No.
Yeah, you should have got an alert. I would complain to your phone company.
What did they destroy?
Vandals came in and they destroyed the Trollpikken in Norway.
You know my next question.
What?
What's the Trollpikken?
Don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass me. Here's the story. Police in Norway are vowing to catch the vandals. Now, before I tell you this, I want a quick warning to our listeners out there. If you're with younger listeners or older listeners or sensitive listeners, put your hands over their ears.
Earmuffs.
Yeah, give them earmuffs.
Kids are out of school now, Bill.
Yes.
Got to be careful what content we put on the show.
Right. Or also, you can pull over to the side of the road and just tell the kids to graze in the field for a few moments. Take a moment to yourself. You deserve
graze?
It.
Graze?
Yeah, just have them walk around the field for a few moments, because this is not for the more sensitive listeners. Police in Norway are vowing to catch the vandals who hacked a rock formation, the Trollpikken, which resembles an erect penis. The fallen Trollpikken was a popular destination in Egersund for hikers and for climbers. but Olav Magni Egnebecken.
I don't think that's it. One more time?
Yeah, it's Olav. That's how you say his middle and last name. Olav Magni Egnebecken.
Eggs and bacon.
They own a bed and breakfast in Norway. Told Norway's TV2 that he was running past the formation on Saturday and he noticed that the Trollpicken was no longer aroused, as it's always been. It looks like somebody used a drill on top, Egabacon told the network.
The Trollpicken as the drill.
Well, you would think, but not this time around, Wendy. No, this is vandalism, he said. There is no doubt. But he said it with a Norwegian accent. Whoever vandalized the rock could face, not the actor of the rock. I want to make that clear. The actor of the rock is fine. Don't panic. He's okay. It's the Trollpicken of Norway that has been vandalized. Whoever vandalized the rock could face up to 6 years in prison. But so far, there are no suspects. Authorities plan to investigate more today, Monday. I guess they take the weekend off, the police in Norway. They rest on weekends. I would think this would take priority. I would want to get this crime solved quickly, but not them. The evidence is there, and we have pictures, says Mengjar Sodestil.
Is that porn?
No, I don't think so. He's the acting police chief of Egersund. He will question possible witnesses this week. Now, Stavanger Aftenblad, and that's the daily newspaper in Norway, posted an image of the damage on Instagram. Have you seen the picture of this? It's upsetting.
No,
it's very upsetting.
What is it called?
The Trollpicken, which is it's Norwegian. That word Trollpicken is it's Norwegian for troll penis. That's the way you would say Trollpicken. You wouldn't say you want to clean it up.
I have Google searched Trollpicken and
earlier than today, like on other occasions or just today? Like, did you just have a weekend where no one was home and you went, I gotta see what's out there.
I can't find it.
You know why? Because I don't think the internet's ready to see this. I think this is the one thing the internet is not ready to see. That's why I think you can't find it. Footage from the scene posted on Facebook. I don't think it should be on Facebook, do you?
Picken book.
Go to Slim Pickens' website and see what you see. Footage from the scene posted on Facebook also showed the damage as well as the grooves that indicated that somebody used tools, ironically, or power tools to take down the Trollpicken.
Oh, that's how you spell it.
Trollpicken. Trollpicken.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That is one time I would like to go rock climbing.
Now take a look at a picture of it when it's cold out. You notice the difference?
That'd be easier to climb.
It's smaller. It's a lot smaller. Egersund Mayor Odd Strangeland.
I don't even know what you're saying.
Lamented the landmark's loss. That's his name. Look it. I'm proving to you that I'm not making up any of these names.
Oh yeah.
The mayor's name is Odd Strangeland. Odd spelled the traditional ODD way. Here's what he said. Strangeland said, "This is simply sad." He wrote that on Facebook, adding that the community had hoped that the formation could be used to draw more tourists to the region. Now, in a lot of parts
Horny
of the
tourists.
World, it doesn't say that, but yes, it doesn't say that. I think the beauty of this is you could almost use it as a sundial. Like whenever you go there to the Trollpicken, you can always go, what time is it? And just look at the shadow that was cast and go, it's a little after 4 o'clock. The mayor, Odd Strangeland, was hoping that this formation could have been used to draw more tourists to the region. He said it had been created by nature, but now, sadly, it was destroyed by humans. But we could have figured that out on our own, couldn't we? Contractor Svevi Garvestand told... You didn't laugh at all at Odd Strangeland, but Svevi Garvestand made you laugh.
They all are funny to me.
He told TV2 that through the aid of helicopters, it would take an hour to drill new supports and then add bolts and mortar to replace the rock.
Don't say drill.
Again, not, when I say The Rock, I don't mean the great actor Dwayne Johnson. He's fine. We have the Viagra that it takes, he said.
What?
I'm not, look.
This. Let's go to Snopes. This is you're being Wendy, duped.
The one thing, you, how many years have you known me? The one thing I don't make light of is the troll picking. That is the one thing in nature. Mount Rushmore is great, don't get me wrong, but the troll picking? The troll picking and the grinning. Howdy. Now, presumably, all Garbstead needs is the money to replace the troll picking. To that end, a crowdfunding site in Norway has so far raised about $20,000, nearly two-thirds of the goal that was set by activists to repair this formation.
Snopes is not saying it's a lie.
No, it's not a lie. This is the biggest thing in Norway right now. If you and I were doing our show, the Bill and Wendy show in Norway, this would be all we would talk about all day. There'd be no time for Eric Zorn. The ice cream lady, we'd have to reschedule. All of our discussion would be about the troll picking and what it would take to get it up again. You know what I mean.
We should do troll picking Tuesdays.
You want to do that from now on?
So they did start a GoFundMe page, correct? They're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want this fixed immediately because this is bad for tourism. People come and they're upset when they don't see it. They're upset.
We have to take a break, and then people want to talk about troll picking.
All right. Why wouldn't you? This is a national tragedy. We'll take a quick break, and then your thoughts. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy telling you the sad story of what went on in Norway the past couple of days. The troll picking, one of the top landmarks, the top destinations for tourists and locals alike in Norway. It's a rock formation that resembles the male phallus, and it has been...
That's funnier. Just say penis.
Wendy. Well, come on.
It's a medical term.
Yeah, I guess so. It resembles a thingy, and it got taken down.
1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Vandals. Vandals. They don't know who did this. But they will figure this out. They will be brought to justice. Criminals will be brought to justice. And they don't know what to do. They've got a GoFundMe page. They're raising money to help put the troll picking back up. But it'll never be the same, Wendy. It never is.
Detective Louie has, I was going to say some tips, but I'm not. Hey, Louie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're sick. We're sick to our stomach.
I know. I feel the pain.
Sure.
You do.
Yeah.
I think they might want to check out any local rabbis because they may have tried to give them a circumcision.
You think a Moyle is responsible for this?
Yeah, because, you know, they do work on tips.
Oh, God. No. Goodbye, Detective Louie.
Yes, Louie. A Moyle who went too far. That's Louie's idea. I don't know if that's true, though.
Ted, you'd like to comment on something Bill said earlier?
Yeah, although I do have to mention one thing before that, is that for years I've been listening to that Cars for Kids commercial, and I've always been like, I could agree with that, and if those people had any idea what you guys are discussing right now.
They'd be very embarrassed.
Yeah. But I have to tell you, I'm going to get a laugh out of that commercial every time going forward now. But you had mentioned earlier, Bill, about they were using it as a sundial.
Yes.
Maybe the reason it got damaged is because somebody realized it was always given time that was 10 minutes after the hour.
That's possible. I'm not going to discount that. That could be true.
Ted, would you like to hang up on yourself now?
Thank you, Ted.
Well, after the ice cream man stops by, sure.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
See, a story like this, Wendy, is so upsetting that none of us are in our right minds. That's what's going on right now, is none of us can think clearly. We're all very upset about the troll picking and its demise.
Hi, George.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're upset. We're very sad.
You know, I'm very sad, too. You know, that just ruins all my plans. I had just ordered troll picking calendars for Christmas this year, and now I'm going to, you know, I feel like I'm going to be upsetting a lot of my family giving them out as gifts.
Right. No, you're right.
And it's just, you know what, here's the thing about the $20,000 that they raised, the two-thirds of them.
Yes.
Honest to God, just if it got formed over, what, a million years?
It took about a million years.
If in a million years they haven't brought it has not brought any tourists now, and what are they thinking about fixing it and then maybe bringing tourists later? Like, where's this?
Because I think because no one knew about it until now that it's
now
been
it's getting
damaged.
Big press. Yeah.
Big press.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
But well, it was bringing tourists.
To Denmark.
It was bringing tourists. I'm trying to get, you know, Steve Bertrand travels anywhere on the globe. I'm trying to get Steve to put a package together.
Oh, I'd go to that for sure.
All right.
We just got a new billboard. I wish they'd put a billboard on that.
That'd be nice.
Could we advertise on it?
I've been asked to not use the phrase put a package together, by the way. Management has just texted me and said, please avoid using that phrase.
Hi, George.
George.
Thank you for calling.
Steve just came into the studio and said that there is a trip to Norway next year. So hopefully.
Did you see the troll picking? Have you been there before?
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh. He says not yet. But hopefully by then, this will be.
You know, the only time he's nice to us is when he has a trip to sell.
You noticed that?
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, Joe.
How are your show, guys? Listen.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if they're looking for this gang of criminals that have done this act.
Yes.
Hooligans.
Yep.
Are they looking for hardened criminals?
Oh, my God. Good one, Joe.
I mean, at least give me a rim shot there.
I've never been more embarrassed and proud at the exact same time.
Good
never.
Work. Thank
never.
You, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Wow. Listen, you can hear Wally Phillips. Listen. You can hear him.
What's the mayor's name again? He's got a weird name.
The mayor's name is Odd Strangeland.
And Bill, listener, we're saying that wrong, aren't we?
Yeah, you're saying it wrong. The way they pronounce it in Norway is Oud.
Oud Strangeland.
I learned that because I had a visitor from Norway. I live in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and he came here. And I didn't understand the pronunciation. His name was Oud Harald. And I misread Harald as Harold. And I introduced him to a bartender at Mars Resort in Como, Wisconsin as Odd Harald. And the bartender, Kevin, said, well, what's wrong with the guy? And I said, well, he's from Norway. He said, well, that's enough.
Is it Friday? It seems like a Friday.
Seems like Friday, yeah.
Bill, yeah. Thank you very
that's
much.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, just want to get you up to date. Bye.
It is Oud Strangeland.
Like, it makes a difference.
Ouds and Ends. That's the name of his his blog.
All right. Doug wants to chime in. Hi, Doug.
Hey, I heard when they catch these criminals that they're going to be serving 5 to 10, and it's going to be a hard time.
You brought this on, Wendy.
I didn't do a thing.
Because you didn't take this story seriously. This is a serious matter in Norway, and you did not take it seriously. Thank you very much, John.
Kevin, we have time for one more. Who's the lucky caller?
Kevin has retired, by the way. Kevin handed in his badge.
All right, John. We don't need no stinking badges.
Hey. Nope.
I love you guys' show. It's hysterical.
Thank you, John.
But I was just wondering, do you think a rabbi climbed up there?
Yeah, there's a possibility of that. We're trying to discount that, but there's a possibility of that. Thank you for asking. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take
All
care.
Right.
Bye.
Are you happy what you started?
No. No.
You should be very proud.
Part of me is, but not all. All right. We'll take a quick break, a well-deserved break, a court-ordered break, then some news, and then more show. Eric Zorn will join us, get this train back on track.
Oh, I don't know about that.
We'll see what happens. It's
Isn't he away. From Norway?
No, he's not from.
You his thought family
Eric,
isn't.
You thought Eric was from Norway?
Well, I thought his family was.
No, it's possible ancestors, but he's from here. All right,
okay.
Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn,
Eric, do you want me to tell you a secret?
Yeah, sure. We're not on the air yet, so
no,
you can go ahead.
This is just between you and me, a little private secret. Up until 3 moments ago, Wendy thought that you were from Norway.
Isn't your family from Sweden or Norway or somewhere like that?
Germany, the North Sea.
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah, sort of.
But you know how a lot of times Wendy will be dressed in traditional Norwegian garb? That's to make you feel more comfortable.
Well, that was so nice of her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now you have to wear
traditional.
You have to wear traditional German garb now. Lederhosen and whatever women wear in Germany. I don't even know.
Hat made of sauerkraut.
Schnitzel.
Yep.
Schnitzel.
Yeah, wear some
a schnitzel bra.
Yep.
Well, or a necklace. A schnitzel necklace is probably a little more appropriate.
That would sell. People would love that.
My comfort is so important to Wendy. I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
I wondered what those
outfits were. Just until a couple minutes ago.
Right,
she thought you were from Norway. All right, there's a lot to discuss, most of it politically based. Are things getting better or worse?
Where? Well, I'm trying to think where they would be getting better.
I don't know where they're getting better.
Bad news is everywhere.
Yeah.
I've been monitoring the news out of Springfield. I haven't heard anything good this morning yet.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're one thing that's actually kind of encouraging is that Mike Madigan has finally decided that he's going to, this is House Speaker Mike Madigan,
yeah.
He's decided that he's going to make some demands of Bruce Rauner in order to capitulate on some of Rauner's demands. Well, you see, what has happened over the last 2 years is that, you know, Bruce Rauner, the Republican, is elected, and he comes in and says, I'm not going to negotiate a budget
right.
with you guys until you agree to certain it's always been an unclear number as exactly what he wants, but he wants things like, he wants changes in the way workers' comp is done. He wants changes in the way local communities pay their workers. He's got a bunch of different things that he believes are important to turning around the Illinois economy. Mike Madigan says, no, well, we'll talk about those, but we'll talk about them after we do a budget,
which yeah.
is, you know, who do we tax, what do we tax, what do we spend? Rauner says, no, that's what the standoff is all about. This is what's been going on for the last 2 years, is that, you know, Rauner will not make that negotiation until he gets some concessions. And one of the criticisms that I've had, and he calls this his turnaround agenda, one of the criticisms that I've had of Democrats is that they've basically made the point, which is a pretty valid point, which is a budget is hard enough to do without these other side issues thrown in. So let's just negotiate the budget. But my other criticism of the Democrats is that they haven't said, okay, well, you want this. You want to change the way political districts are drawn, or you want to change the way, you know, the formula or the laws regarding tort lawsuits,
yeah.
those kind of things. You want these things. This is what we want. You know, what's the Democrats' agenda? I mean, I've been pushing them on that. Senator Dan Biss, who's running for governor, he put out some things. Some Democratic legislators put out some of their things. But really, Mike Madigan is the big Democrat in the state. And he has always just said, I want to negotiate a budget. That's it. He hasn't said anything. But just in the last couple of days, he's finally come out and said, okay, this is the kind of thing that I want. I want mm-hmm. approval, for instance, of this new education funding system. You know, our education system is too heavily dependent on property taxes. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that our property taxes are so high is that the state does not pay what it should be paying to school districts in general. So
right.
they most of them rely on property taxes. Madigan wants the governor to accede to the Democrats' plan on this. There's a Republican plan, Democratic plan. So there's some other things. So in any case, what this looks like to me is negotiations proceeding.
Right.
That this is, to me, it seems like a big deal, which is that they finally decided they're going to throw their chips onto the table and they're going to make it
a bigger
negotiation. It's
right.
part of what's been going on in the state Senate, where they came up with this grand bargain that the House didn't go for. So, I mean, it's a long way of saying that I think there are some green shoots coming up in Springfield
yeah.
this week. They've got to get it done by Friday. If they don't, the rating houses have said they're going to lower Illinois' bond rating to below investment grade, which is what, you know, informally called junk. And the Wall Street Journal last week coined the term Governor Junk, that if Bruce Rauner lets this happen, he's going to be known as Governor Junk.
Now, and many experts have said it would be almost impossible for him to get reelected if a budget is in place. Do you agree with that or disagree?
No,
with
I
that?
Don't. I don't agree with that necessarily.
Really?
No, I don't, because he has a huge campaign war. He's giving, you know, tens of 20. I forget exactly the number of amount of money that he's put into his own reelection
right.
campaign. They're in full campaign mode right now, and this is the thing that is discouraging about what's going on right now, is that particularly the Republicans are in. Like I said, in full campaign mode, there are a lot of ads running.
Mm-hmm.
On your TV, you've seen Bruce Rauner. I'm the one who's going up against Mike Madigan and his puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And he is he's a very aggressive guy, calling Madigan corrupt, and saying that the legislators are not independent of him. Which, you know, I mean, state legislators, let's face it, rank and file people, they are dependent on their leaders and the money and the organization that they provide. So it's not like Republicans are all these is a whole caucus of independent thinkers, and the Democrats have all fallen in line. You know, this is it's all like sort of high level state politics, but the campaigning is so aggressive right now, and the, you know, the issue has to do with, you know, who's going to raise income taxes, how much. It just about everybody acknowledges that we're going to have to raise income taxes because we've been living on the cheap for so long. So the problem is now that there's this atmosphere is very toxic. So on the one hand, you've got this deal that looks like it might be taking shape, And then on the other hand, you've got this all this toxic rhetoric, which makes it hard. It makes it difficult when you're sitting across the table from someone who's been calling you names.
But here's a question. We're one of 50 states, and to my knowledge, there's one other state that does not have a budget, right?
For this amount of time?
You know, Pennsylvania didn't have one for a while, but I think they
ended up,
I think they got one, yeah. But ours, we are really way out there in terms of like our pension debt.
So why are they all able? I'm sure putting a budget together is not the easiest thing in the world. I'm sure there's a lot of give and take, and yet the other states all have figured out a way to do it. What makes us so different from them?
Bruce Rauner is what makes us so different. Rauner was elected in 2014, was it? Yeah, that's right. 2014. And his whole idea is he was going to come in and shake up Springfield. And he's, you know, a wealthy business person. He doesn't have any political experience. And he came to this job thinking that he knew how to break Mike Madigan's will. He knew how to break the Democrats, and he was just going to be stubborn and hold to his principles. Now, Madigan, better or worse, he's been around for, you know, 30-some years, and as Speaker most of those years, and he's been able to cut budgets with a lot of Republican governors, a lot of Democratic governors. He's been able to figure that out. He hasn't been able to do it. They haven't been able to do it with Rauner because Rauner is more stubborn than they are. He's the one who said, I am not going to budge on this stuff. I mean, he'll say, oh, I'll compromise here or there. But when it comes right down to it, he's not willing to bend the way those others were. And so he's digging in his heels. And I believe that he believes that if we don't have these changes in the way business is done, that Illinois is not going to recover. Now, I don't know that there's evidence for that. There are plenty of states out there that are getting back on their feet that don't have all these changes that Rauner wants to have. But so that, I mean, the reason we don't have it, I believe, is that Bruce Rauner, he's extremely wealthy, and he's got a bunch of extremely wealthy friends, and they're going to put the money into it, and they are going to go to the mat, and they think, you said he can't be reelected. I think that he can be.
Yeah.
It all depends on who the Democrats run. And on the Democratic side right now, J.B. Pritzker, who's a billionaire, is putting a lot of money into attacking Rauner. And again, this doesn't make for a really, I'm not someone who's a naive about politics. I know that it's really a rough and tumble game. Right now we're in governing. We ought to be in governing mode a little bit more, and it makes it difficult for them to govern. It makes it difficult for them to make the sort of trade-offs when they're in this really highly charged political environment.
Right.
And again, Pritzker is contributing to it as well. So it's an interesting time down there.
How do really, really wealthy politicians like Mr. Rauner, like Mr. Pritzker, like Mr. Trump, how do they continuously convince voters who don't have money, don't have much money, that their best interest is to vote for them, that they will fight for the poor, the people who really need their help, when in reality, those really, really rich guys, for the most part, their sets of problems are nothing like what the poor man's problems are?
Well, I wouldn't paint with that broad a brush. I think there are some wealthy people over the years, some wealthy politicians who have done very well, whose philosophies, whose political approaches have been very friendly to, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was arguably
very,
very friend, a friend of the working person, the poor. The Kennedy family, many of them, you know, extreme commitment to liberal causes over the years.
Yeah.
So it's not just money makes you, you know, only self-interested. You know, how do they convince them that? I mean, you see the ads, you see the rhetoric, you see, you know, what people say to the working class. They manage to figure out what the right things to say are. I left Pritzker out of that equation. I don't really know his background as well as I should at this point, I suppose. But
the ads all seem to show him championing causes that seem very universal.
Well, the Pritzker family is very philanthropic and is a democratically aligned family. Like I said, I don't know exactly what his accomplishments are, I'm not going to put him on either side of that ledger right now.
Okay.
But, you know, money is very important in politics. These messages are really important in politics. I mean, you're trying to, you know, get the word out and you got to have a lot of money. People say to me, why are the Democrats so eager to embrace Pritzker? Now it's just a little less than 9 months to the primary. You know, most people haven't even heard about some of these other candidates.
Right.
Who knows about what Amaya Poar is saying, or what Daniel Biss is saying, or what Bob Diber, I think his name is downstate, is saying. I can't even be sure of his name as I say it to you now. We haven't had that kind of process. We haven't had the debates, and yet all these unions, all these party people are getting behind Pritzker. And the reason is that he's got a ton of money.
Right.
And he's already out there hammering on Rauner, and this is going to be a really, really expensive election. It's going to be a really nasty election. But sure, Rauner could win. There's people in this state are upset.
Yeah. So. And this is coming from Eric Zorn, a guy from Norway. He recognizes
politics in my home country, Bill.
I know. I understand that.
Do we have anything good going on in Chicago or Illinois? Can we talk about that when we come back?
There's all kinds of good stuff.
There's
going
good
on.
Stuff. Yeah. It's you need to search it out a little bit, but it's there.
Politically, right? I don't not so much, but
otherwise,
the weather's good.
The weather's good. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then other things to discuss with Eric Zorn. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leffin and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're chatting with Chicago Tribune's Eric Zorn.
Former member of AHA, Eric Zorn. Eric.
It's not well known.
No, most people don't know.
Trying to keep it a secret, but.
That's fine. All right. You have railed against the use of the word honorable. You say that too many people are now describing themselves as the honorable ... and this must come to an end.
I don't know if railed is the right term. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe that's the tone that I took.
Mildly railed.
Well, what prompted this was not too long ago. Remember Omarosa
from The Apprentice?
From The Apprentice back in 2004.
She was the villain in the first year of The Apprentice.
Well, you know, and she has gone on to, she's a White House aide now.
Yeah.
She works for President Trump in the White House. And mm-hmm. she sent out an invitation to the Congressional Black Caucus to come and meet with the president. And she signed it, the Honorable Omarosa. How do you say her last name? I don't even know.
Menegault
or something? Something like that, yeah. The Honorable thing. And, of course, politicians are properly, according to Emily Post, if you're writing an invitation to somebody,
yeah.
or for me, you say the Honorable Harry Reid, the Honorable Donald Trump, the
I've
Honorable.
I've never done that.
It's a very formal thing. I've never cared for it because it strikes me as British. It's like, the right honorable gentleman. And
it does.
It's the kind of thing. Then we fought a revolution to get away from the honorable stuff. And I thought, this is, and also.
So be honorable, just don't use it in your salutation.
Well, the etiquette experts are saying that, when you are doing an invitation in a formal setting or you're announcing somebody on a red carpet, you will say, the honorable.
Dean Richards.
The Honorable Dean
Richards.
Now, there you go. Now, there would
it.
Be something. Well, anybody on the WGN Walk of Fame.
They deserve it.
They deserve
Steve Bertrand
that.
Deserves Steve it.
Because they've received an honor.
Exactly.
Isn't that what it means?
Yeah, but like judges are always referred to as the honorable.
Yes.
And
and Steve Dale, the pet expert. He should be. At this
he's
point,
noted.
At this point, he should be honorable. I mean, honestly.
He should be. You're
he should
right.
Be. But it's one of those things where I feel like. One should earn one's honor, which should not be. We're not a country of titles. We're not a country
right.
where these things are. In fact, the Constitution prohibits the government from giving people titles.
Oh.
So it's one of the things that's always rubbed me the wrong way. And this, and of course, Omarosa using it in this way caused a lot of people to sit up straight in their chairs and clear their throats.
Well, it waters down somebody who has achieved something where they would deserve that designation. If everyone's just throwing the term out, it waters it down.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think it seems appropriate in court.
It does.
And because you are honoring not necessarily or so much the individual, but you're honoring the position
the
of the
bench, law of the judge, land,
the judge, and what that person and that person's robes represents. The same thing is true of people who actually hold office.
Yeah.
And there's this fine distinction that we always draw between respecting the office and respecting the person. A lot
yeah.
of people were drawing that distinction about President Obama. People draw that distinction about President Trump. You can not like the president, you can detest the president, but you should always honor and respect the office.
Right.
So that, to me, that's where that title can be used effectively.
Oh.
Of course, when you get down to like state representative, state senator, and so on, I mean, at some point, these people they're elected officials, but honorable seems to be very inflated.
It's like when you call somebody a friend of your mom's and dad's aunt or uncle, and they're not really your aunt or uncle. It's just a friend. You call them that.
Right.
Yeah,
but they
should
earn
thing.
That. Yep. And when they shouldn't refer to themselves that way. To you,
never.
Probably.
Never.
So,
no.
Nope. So, yeah, I was railing about that. You're right.
You were railing. Wendy just wants some good news, Eric. Is there some good news that you can give Wendy just to keep her happy, please?
I guess overall the good news is that Chicago is an incredible place to be during the summer. This area
sure is.
I mean, we pack so much into these great warm months.
Mm-hmm.
Festivals and event every weekend is just mm-hmm. jammed with stuff to do. I'll put in a little plug for the Old Town Square Roots Festival, Old Town School of Folk Music Square Roots Festival, which is coming up.
That's a good thing.
The 7th through 9th, the Honorable.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a terrific, it's a street festival up in Lincoln Square.
You're playing on it?
I'm going to be playing in the Midwest Fiddle Championships again.
Oh.
My son came in second last year.
Fiddling around
but
with
he's
Eric.
But he is not competing this year, so I'm going to play. He's going to be out of town, so I'm going to.
Wait, so
what,
did
you break a string for him so you could win?
His decision to not play makes you you want to play more?
No, 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 no. I wouldn't compete against him. First of all, he beat me. But second of all, like, it wouldn't seem right to me to compete against
him. Who did he lose to?
Oh, who did he lose to? A guy who was like, he was a Danish fiddler now that I think of it. I don't remember his name, but he played really well. It was really nice.
Did he deserve to win?
Did he deserve to win? It's so hard. It's actually a difficult comp. I sit through the things, and there's Irish fiddlers. They're amazing. There's old-timey. There's bluegrass.
And these are all different divisions.
No, it's all the same. It is difficult
to compare.
The Irish fiddler, I think Ben came in second. The Irish fiddler came in third. And the Irish fiddler was amazingly good. He's just amazing. And I don't know how do you – and Ben plays this kind of soulful, old-timey style. And I don't know how you compare those two exactly.
Right.
Which one is more musical? Which one is more, you know, pleasing? And it's very, very subjective. But, you know, it's also not the most serious thing in the world.
Sure.
There's not like a lot of money rides on it or anything. But it's a really fun event.
Just the prestige of being named.
The honor,
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah, the honor.
Well, I'm going to be in the semifinals or the play-ins, whatever, on Thursday night, the 6th. And then the finals, you have to qualify for, which I don't expect to be in those. But
what song do you do for this?
I'm going to do a fiddle tune called "And the Cat Came Back." I'll bring in a recording.
Oh, I know that song.
No, you actually don't.
And the cat came back the very next day, and he knew for a moment.
Why would he play that on a fiddle?
It's one of the curious things about traditional music is that there are many, many tunes with the same name.
Oh.
And it's peculiar. And there's like six tunes named Liza Jane and six tunes named Sally Ann. And at least three or four tunes called Fire on the Mountain. And people will say, like, let's play Fire on the Mountain. Which one do you want to play? And all these different versions of it. So I don't like that about it.
So guys who write fiddle songs are smitten with women named Liza Jane?
Yeah, I've actually complained about that. I said, there's so many names out there. Why is there another Liza Jane?
That's crazy.
But it should be a lot of fun. But I mean, I guess my overall point about this is that, you know, for much as we complain about Chicago and
Illinois, this is the best time.
This is a great, I mean, the weather this weekend, the weather today, it's like, what a great city to be in. What an exciting place to be.
Agreed.
Be alive. And
see, there's good news, Wendy.
There's good news. So yes, we don't have a budget. Big deal. Who needs a budget when you got weather like this, huh? Yep.
That's what I say every day in my own personal budget.
So true.
But
so
is there a website people can find out when and where your event is?
Well, it's oldtownschool.org. That's
Eric Zorn.
Thank you, sir.
The pride of Norway. We will take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.